I'm here with Alexander McCurse, editor-in-chief of the Duran. Alexander, the shipment for the S-400s has arrived to Turkey from Russia. There's been a lot of photos, a lot of videos documenting the fact that Russia is supplying Turkey and that those weapons have arrived. And it seems at the end of the day that Erdogan decided to not back down to the U.S. demands, to go with his commitment to purchase the S-400s. What does this mean? What does this say to the U.S.? What does this say to NATO? What does this tell you about Erdogan? What does this mean about what does this say to you about the relationship between Russia and Turkey? There's a lot to kind of unpack here, just from a weapons purchase. But it is, in my mind, pretty significant, pretty groundbreaking that this happened.
Yes, it is. Now, can I just say something, which is that, of course, we on the Duran always said that Erdogan would follow through with his purchase of the S-400s. There's been massive pressure on Turkey not to go through with it from the US to back down on this sale. The US has come forward and offered the Turks Patriot missiles instead, which the Turks say, rightly by the way, are not as good. And there have been threats to pull Turkey's order of F-35 fighters from the US, the new stealth fighters, which Turkey has itself paid for. So this has been a massive pressure on Turkey. And yet Turkey has gone ahead with this. And now, earlier, I think, in the year than some people expected, we see these weapons being delivered. And apparently there's now a training for the Turkish personnel who will be developing, who will be manning these systems, is now underway, with the Russians directly involved and on the spot in Turkey providing that training. Now, to understand the implications of this, I think the thing to say, first of all, is that it is the United States that decided to make a huge issue out of this thing. I mean, many people hearing about this purchase of S-400s might have thought that this is the first time NATO countries have bought military equipment from Russia. That simply isn't true. Greece operates Russian surface-to-air missiles, not as sophisticated as these, and several East European countries have bought weapon systems from Russia. Again, not as sophisticated as these. It was the United States, however, that chose to make a huge drama out of this Turkish purchase. And why did they do that? I think for two reasons. Firstly, because they saw it as a sign of Erdogan's closeness to Russia at a time when the United States itself is in confrontation with Russia, as it has increasingly been since 2014, after the Ukrainian crisis and after the Syrian crisis. And at a time when the United States has been imposing sanctions on Russia, to see Turkey forging ahead, not just with economic links with Russia, but with military links as well, I think for the US, that was politically intolerable and a case of extreme insubordination by a NATO state. But I think there is a further factor, which is, I think that for the US is undoubtedly alarmed by the spread of the S-400 missile system. The Russians, back in the 1980s, aware of the fact that the US was investing very heavily in stealth technology for its military aircraft, developed surface-to-air missile systems of extreme sophistication that are intended to counter those sort of stealth aircraft. And the S-400 is one of those systems. And I think the United States is extremely worried about the proliferation of these surface-to-air systems. In Turkey, there's now talk that Saudi Arabia might buy them. India is also considering buying it. China has already committed to buying it. So the United States feels that with the spread of these systems, it's formally undisputed air superiority over this part of the Middle East is becoming increasingly restricted. So it campaigned to stop Turkey buying these systems, but Erdogan persisted in doing so. And it seems that he has Turkish society solidly behind him on this question. Erdogan is not a universally popular leader in Turkey, but on this particular issue, it seems that most Turks, the great majority of Turks, support him. And that is a sea change, because if you go back in time, Turkey was a very close ally of the United States. It was also a long traditional historic enemy of Russia. The two countries have been fighting wars with each other ever since the 18th century. Turkey has generally been the loser of those wars. The Turks have always felt this immense sense of grievance against Russia. It seems that has passed. I personally still believe that Turkey remains committed to NATO, but there is no doubt that Turkey's links to the West and to NATO are weakening. It no longer sees Russia as this great threat that it used to see it as. The Turks are starting to see Russia more and more as a friend, even if perhaps not as a military ally, and they're forging ahead with their relationship with Russia on all fronts.
Yeah, it shows me that, you know, while the United States is stuck in ideology, neoliberalism, neoconservatism, identity politics, and all kinds of other just nonsense stuff, 3 years of Russiagate, you know, all these things, it shows that the world is conducting business. And it shows that even though you had, you know, Russia and Turkey, which I believe just, was it 2 or 3 years ago when they shot down the jet, the Turks shot the jet, that even after an episode like that, where, you know, you could say we were almost brought to the brink of war, because it was a very provocative move to shoot down that jet.
Yeah.
Even after that, you had Russia and Turkey once again engaging with each other on business terms, conducting a deal, following through on that deal. No one reneged on the contract. No one pulled out. They both held to their commitment. And it went through despite all the pressure. And Turkey withstood a lot of pressure, especially on the lira via the U.S.
Yes.
So, I mean, you know, they're doing business. And, you know, it seems that the U.S. doesn't have the sway and the pull anymore to stop that business from going through. I mean, this really shows that the U.S. is not, doesn't have that position of power and leverage that it used to have. And I'll also say the point that Turkey and Russia were not on the same side with Syria either. There was bitter and terrible war in Syria, fueled by Saudi Arabia, fueled by Turkey, fueled by Obama and the United States, where Russia was on the other side. And yet they still managed to get these S-400s to Turkey.
Exactly. I think you put it incredibly well. I think that we see increasingly that more and more people around the world are just getting on with things. They're doing business with each other. They're settling their disputes with each other. Turkey and Russia came to terms after the Turks shot down the Russian jet, the Su-24, and they did it by themselves. They didn't, you know, they didn't do it through the U.S., they just talked to each other and they sorted it out. And you see more and more countries around the world doing that. The two Koreas are talking to each other, for example. And the Russians are also talking to the Saudis, another country which historically they've not always been on good terms with, and that's putting it mildly. And more countries are being pragmatic. They're acting in their interests. They're no longer obsessed with these ideological conflicts that the United States is still obsessed with. And they don't see the world in the terms of the great geopolitical chess game that Washington is constantly trying to impose on them. So that is a very good point that you put, Alex. And I think it summarizes the whole story very well.
All right, Alexander McCurse, Editor-in-Chief of The Durant, thank you very much. Guys, if you like this video, click on the subscribe button down below. Click on that notifications bell. Smash that like button. And Alexander, people can, what else can they do? They can get an audio copy of this video. Go to SoundCloud and iTunes. And I saw you pulling out those mugs. You can also buy magic mugs at The Durant Shop. And you can buy very dapper, very stylish T-shirts, V-necks, and polo shirts.
Oh, you certainly can, Alex. I mean, I'm wearing this marvelous polo shirt at the moment with my beautiful Duran embroidered double-headed eagle on it. And I mean, it's an incredibly stylish and comfortable shirt. As I've said many times, it's 100% cotton. It's incredibly comfortable. It looks amazingly smart. As I said, dapper is a nice word, which you've just used. I am well known for being a very dapper person. I've always been well dressed, and I love wearing this shirt because it makes me feel well dressed. And that's what you need. You need to feel well dressed to be really confident. And going on a show like this, you really do need confidence. You need to be able to have the confidence to assess and understand all these complicated issues that we talk about and to explain them as clearly as we try to do. And wearing a beautiful 100% cotton stylish shirt like this, that gives you all the confidence you need, and it gives you the confidence to go on some rather glittering social occasions that I've been in wearing polo shirts, Duran polo shirts, just like this one, in very marvelous homes, stately homes of England with my dogs. And you can do the same. You can acquire the same confidence and look as dapper by buying a shirt like this. And you can also do that, and you can drink at the same time from one of these marvelous mugs that we have. I'm drinking Earl Grey tea at the moment, as I said, one of my favorite teas, actually. Magnificent British tea named after Earl Grey, who was a British Prime Minister in the 19th century, who introduced the Great Reform Act. And what better way to drink a really wonderful tea like this than from a mug like this, with this beautiful porcelain mug, 15 ounces, incredibly solid, doesn't chip. I hate mugs that chip, by the way. This one absolutely doesn't, because it's so well made. It's got such a good porcelain body, feels beautiful to wear, keeps the warmth of the tea, and it sort of swirls around. I don't know if you can hear it at all, but it does. And by the way, I drank beer from it, and some of the beers you can also swirl a little, some of the British ales. So it's a wonderful mug. You can own a mug like this with our Duran logo there. Do yourself a favor. Go on to our shop. Buy yourselves these wonderful clothes, these marvelous mugs. Help yourself and help the Duran.
All right. Well said. Alexander McCurse, Editor-in-Chief of the Duran. Thank you very much. And a link for the Duran shop is in the description box down below. Till next time, everybody. Take care.